Our First Testament lesson is from the fifth chapter of Exodus, verses 1 through 9, which you can find on page 52 of your Pew Bible. I guess this started being one of those Sundays on Friday, because when I was putting the liturgy together, I had it in my head that we were doing verses 1 through 5 and not 1 through 9. That's the bad news. The good news is that I did very, very well in my Old Testament class, and I was a good Sunday school student from the time I was 3. So I know this story, so what I'm going to do is ad-lib the next 4 verses, and John will cover for me if I really mess it up. So let us listen together for the word of the Lord. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should heed him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has revealed himself to us. Let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he will fall upon us with pestilence and sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their work? Get to your labors." Pharaoh continued, "Now they are more numerous than the people of this land, and yet you want them to stop working?" Pharaoh continues, telling them that if they don't have enough to do, he'll do this. He will let them make bricks, which they have been making, but they have to go find the straw, which is the primary constituent of bricks. They can find the straw themselves instead of having it provided. So he basically, again, insults the God of the Hebrews. This is the word of the Lord.
We're in the middle in Matthew of some of Jesus's most disturbing parables, and this is another one of them that has bits and pieces that cause us, I think, to stop and pull up short. But we are in the 22nd chapter, looking at verses 1 through 14. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. "Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they wouldn't come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm and another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see his guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of the Lord. The pastor stood before the city council, and he was enraged. He said that what was going on in their city was horrific, and that if they didn't stop it, it would lead to, and this is a quote, it would be a path to adultery, divorce, murder, and little children left orphaned. The city council had to act. And so they did. They outlawed dancing. Years ago, when my family was making their annual pilgrimage from the heat of Houston in August to the cool of Estes Park, Colorado, we would always drive through West Texas. And as we were coming near Abilene in West Texas, there was a sign to Anson, Texas. And as we drove by it, my dad said, "Oh yeah, no dancing in Anson." And I said, "What?" He said, "Sometime," and he didn't know the whole story. He said, "Sometime in the past, the town fathers of," and they were the town fathers, "of Anson had voted to disallow dancing in the city. It was illegal to do." And this was the late 60s, and it was still illegal in Anson. Well, there was one dance for the rich white farmers, and the cops turned their back. But for everybody else, there was no dancing in Anson. Now, some of you may be saying, "Okay, John, this is, you know, another one of your Texas trivia pieces that is a little known nor cared about fact." But it actually sets up both texts. Because in both of our texts, we have someone wanting to throw a party and someone wanting to stop that party. All right, so we'll begin. Who wants to throw the party? And the answer is God. And I've always wanted to do this, and here we go. I'm going to quote the Grateful Dead. "Then God, way up in heaven, for whatever it was worth, thought he'd throw a big old party, thought he'd call it Planet Earth." There you go. So, the reality is Jerry Garcia actually got it right. Because for God, this planet, this Earth, and all the people on it, God wants us to be part of this amazing party, this messianic banquet. And you can see the imagery to the party in both texts, okay? In our Old Testament story, what is it that the people want to do? What is it Moses tells Pharaoh? "We want to go out and have a festival to our God. We want to go out and celebrate what God wants for us and of us." In the Jesus parable, it's the king, played by God, who wants to throw this great messianic banquet. The fatted calf has been killed, the cattle have been cooked, everything is ready. Everybody come to this party, to this great celebration. And for people who lived in the time of Jesus, the Jews would completely understand this. Because woven throughout the entire Old Testament is this imagery of this party that everyone is invited to. It's the party of freedom, love, abundance, and peace. Freedom, love, abundance, and peace. It is this party where the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and the child shall play over the hole of the asp. It's the party where every person gets to live under their own vine and fig tree and eat the produce of their hands that no one is going to take from them. It is the messianic banquet where swords are beaten into plows and spears into pruning hooks. It is this great moment of peace. And so when Jesus tells this parable about this messianic banquet, the king is giving it for the king's son, everybody around him knows exactly what Jesus is talking about. So it's God who wants to throw the party. But there are people who want to stop it. Just like the founding fathers of Anson, Texas, They want to quash it because they are afraid of what it's going to bring. In the first story, you have Pharaoh. Pharaoh not only says, no, you can't go out there, but as Terry told us, Pharaoh also says, I'm going to make your life so hard and so miserable that you won't even want to think about holding a party. And in Jesus' parable, it is those who have been invited to the party and refuse to come, who not only just refuse to come, they hunt down the slaves. They beat them. They kill them because they don't want anyone else going either. God wants the party to happen, and there are people in the world who don't want the party to take place. And so now we're sort of at a crossroads, if you will, with this text. We can do one of two things with it. We can either, one, spend time dwelling on why those people who don't want the party to take place don't want the party to take place. And maybe we could talk about who those people were and sort of point our fingers out there. Or we could focus on ourselves and ask ourselves, how are we supposed to respond to the invitation? Because remember, we're all invited. We're all invited to this great party that God is throwing. We've all received this great messianic invitation to the kingdom of God. And so the question is, what do we do with it? Well, for those of you who've been around me a while, you know which way we're going, and we're going to talk about us. Much more important to talk about us and our response than talk about those people out there somewhere. So, how are we supposed to respond to the invitation? Step one, show up. What is it? Someone has said that half of success in life is simply showing up, right? Half of success at anything. And that's the first thing. Remember, the invitation has gone out, and the invitation doesn't do any good unless we show up. And showing up here doesn't simply mean believing in God and believing in Jesus. It means showing up at the party. Can we experience God on our own? Absolutely. Some of the times I felt closest to God is when I was up in the Colorado Rockies, and it's a beautiful evening, and I just sense God's presence and the beauty of creation. But that's not the party. And I know some of you are parties in and of yourselves, okay? You know, some of you just put you in a room by yourself and you're just a party, all right? But that's not the party to which we are invited. We are invited to the messianic banquet. We are invited to come and be part of a community of faith. And here's the other thing I've always wanted to do. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Because all of you are here, so you're not really the ones that need to hear this. But it is a powerful reminder that we help the party become real for others, just like they help the party become real for us. So when we show up together, the party really gets started. So that's step one. Step two. We are to show up with arms wide open. One of the fascinating things about this parable, as Jesus tells it, is something that would have shocked his listeners. And interestingly enough, they wouldn't have been shocked by the king going after those who don't come to the party or the people murdering the servants. That's all Old Testament prophetic stuff. What would have shocked them was when the servants are instructed to go out and they found both good and bad. And good and bad are invited to the party. Because in first century Judaism, they believed the only people who got an invitation to this messianic banquet were the good people, were the righteous people, were the people who obeyed the law, were the people who sort of lived perfect lives. Not those people out there. But the gift of the messianic banquet is that it is a banquet to which all are invited. And so we are to come with arms wide open to embrace everyone that is in this community and to embrace everyone who wants to be part of this community. Arms wide open. And the final piece is that we are to come appropriately dressed. Now, let me ask, how many of you were a bit disturbed by the end of this parable when the person shows up and doesn't have the wedding gown on and gets tossed out of the party? Come on. Right? All right. This is, yep, okay. And I have to admit, even though I sort of know what it's about, I still get disturbed by it. But so what's it about? The wedding garment within first century Judaism and within first century Christianity was the new self. The wedding garment represented the fact that when you came to the banquet, you stripped off that old self of anger and hypocrisy, that old self of a lack of caring, and you put on the new garments of the Messiah, the new messianic clothing, the clothing of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. And so what that said is that that person who shows up at the banquet has essentially said, I really don't want to be here. I don't want to be transformed and renewed. I just sort of happened in. And so that key piece there is the idea that we are to come to the banquet appropriately dressed, open not only to all who come, but open to all that Christ will do through and in us. This coming Sunday, as I said during the announcements, is Pledge Sunday. And on that Sunday, we ask you all to make a financial commitment to the life of this church. And I think sometimes when we do that, it's easy for us to think, well, this is really just keeping the wheels going. It's for the institution, keeping it moving. But I want to offer you a different vision of what that gift is about. It's the gift that keeps the party going. Because we are a party people. We are a party people in which people find the freedom to become who they truly are. They don't feel like they have to be forced into somebody else's mold. There is this great freedom to experience who they are in Jesus Christ. It is a place where love is shown, where we love one another by what we do for one another and what we do for those outside of this place. It is a party where love is real. It is a party where there is abundance, and not just abundance for us, where there is our abundance that we get to give away, that we get to come next week, and if we can, bring a coat for a child who will be cold this winter, or bring $60 to give a family a Thanksgiving dinner where they may go hungry. This is our abundance. We are a place of abundance, and we are a place of peace, where people can come and find the love of God in and through and around them and find a sense of just hope and peace in what is often a chaotic and hurtful world. That here is a place where peace lives and reigns. So when you come and make your commitment, it is not just to keep the institution alive, it is to keep the party going. So, what happened in Anson? In 1985, a group of parents got together and called themselves the Footloose Society. For those of you who know the movie imagery. And they began bugging city council. And they bugged them for 2 years. And finally, in 1987, at a city council meeting, with the Footloose families on one side and the pastor of the Church of Christ and the Baptist Church on the other, the city council voted to allow dancing. And they had their first dance at the city, at the armory in town, and 700 of the 2,600 people, and yes, it's a huge city, 2,600 people, 700 of them came to dance. It was men and women in their 70s and 80s. It was little children in strollers. It was teenagers. It was children. And people had a blast. And they decided that they would take the money that they raised from that dance and every other dance, and they would build a community center for the youth of Anson, Texas. And they've done it. That's what the party is all about. It is finding that joy that God sends to us, that freedom, that love, that abundance, and that peace, and allowing it not only to flow through here, but to flow out and to change the world. And so that's my challenge to all of us, is to ask ourselves, how am I being a party person? How am I being this amazing party of this messianic banquet of God, bringing joy in this place and sharing that joy with the world? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you call us to be part of the party. Allow us to live this joy out in the world and to share it with all who need to hear it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.